This is Alana Smith, and you're listening to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.
Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 88 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, I'm joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there, and that would be Mr. Bob Lucius. Hey, Bob. Wakanda forever. I wasn't going to say Yimbabwe. I wasn't going to say that. You know why? Because Yimbabwe is more of like a battle cry. You know, it's like hold fast is what it kind of what it means, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Wakanda forever though, with the greeting, because I crossed my arms when I said that to Bob. Yeah. That's a greeting. Oh. That's a greeting in Wakanda.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And that's my greeting to you today.
Yeah.
Is Wakanda forever.
All right. I love that. I love it. I like the Mbambe as well.
I had to say it, even though it's probably not appropriate. and so, you know, people may ask, well, why are we talking about Wakanda? I thought this was the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. Mm-hmm. And you would be right in asking that question unless you read the issue we are covering today. The issue is Captain America, Symbol of Truth, number one. And this is the brand new series starring Sam Wilson. And the story involves Wakanda.
But you know what? Speaking of spoiler alerts, Rick, I fell for one. You know, it's like I'm like a moth to a flame when it comes to you. Because there, you
had to take that off.
There was some spoiler thread. Okay, what the heck was it? Was it about Obi-Wan or something?
Oh, yes.
And you made a comment. And I was like, oh, Rick made a comment on something. And I dove right in and read your comment, you know, on some disparate group or something. And it was and only afterwards, I was like, oh, my God, this is a spoiler.
You had not seen Obi-Wan yet?
No, I hadn't seen that yet. So.
Well, that's happened to me too.
Yeah.
That has totally happened to me where I was like, oh, someone comment on this. And I go and click on it and I read it. And I'm like, no, I didn't want to know that.
Yeah. So.
Facebook, get it together. Change those algorithms. You can't just link us to things like that.
That's how it is. Like, I hang on every word you say. So,
I have that effect on people.
Moth to a flame.
or fungus to a mole, something like that.
Whatever.
So Bob, we've got a lot going on in the Facebook group. A few weeks ago, you know, we asked the question because I like to put this out there about every once or twice a year and ask, do you listen to our podcast? And this is in our Facebook group. And if you haven't been part of the Facebook group, you really should check it out. It's a great way to interact with other Captain America comic book fans and share your memorabilia, share your favorite comics, stories. There's all kinds of fun stuff on there. Like, you know, I think one of the running jokes I always say is, you know, I never knew I always wanted that.
Right.
You know, because like if someone will post something, you know, from like, oh my God, here's something that like I hadn't thought about in 30, 40 years.
Yep.
Anyway, it's a fun group. And we have like, I don't know, like over 4,000 Cap fans on there. And so I posted a poll. Do you listen to our weekly show? And I gave a bunch of choices, right? I gave like 7 different choices. And do you want to hear the results, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Number one reply, 34% of the vote went to yes, sometimes. Okay. That's cool.
That's
cool. We like that.
Yeah.
Then 23% of the vote went to yes, and I'm a patron. And let me just say, thank you. We love you. We love our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Then 13, lucky number 13, said, no, I don't listen to podcasts or have any interest. So 13% said no. Then 10% said, yes, every episode, but I'm not a patron. And that's cool. We love you too. Thank you for listening to every episode. Mm-hmm. Then, and this gets me, Bob, this gets me every time. 10% said, wait, there's a show?
I knew you were going to bring that one up. Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. Like I post every single Wednesday when the new podcast comes out, I put a post and mm-hmm. I pin it to the top. Mm-hmm. It's featured. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
I have every month I put a new calendar up. I pin it up. It's featured. You can't miss it. Mm-hmm. So it always blows my mind that there's, and so 10% said, wait, there's a show. Then we got 7% said no, but I've been meaning to.
All right.
And I just want to say to Jamie, Frank, Lou, Mark, Edmund, Moondoggy, if you are listening now, hey, welcome. We're glad you finally did.
Yep. Pour yourself a tall glass of milk. Kick your shoes off. Sit on down on that couch of yours and turn it on. Dive right in.
Or your car.
Whatever.
Wherever you're listening.
Yeah.
And then the last result was, Bob, 3%. So only 3% mm-hmm. said yes, but only to the interviews. Hmm. Now, listen, we would love to get more interviews, but mm-hmm. there's only so many creators and there's only so much time. But we still promise every first Wednesday of the month, we'll have an interview. So and we've been mm-hmm. true to that for a while.
Yeah. And if people knew how you shook the bushes to get those interviews, right? I mean, you're tracking down people standing outside their homes, right? It's not easy sometimes. I mean, you were hunting down Mark Wade for a long time.
That's true. Yeah, I've gone to various cons.
It's not easy. So kudos to you for the interviews that you have been able to land.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you've done a good job bringing some novelists in, right? We've had various authors come in and you've done a great job bringing those guys in.
Yep.
So here's some comments because we did ask for some constructive, you know, criticism. I'll always appreciate that. And you want to hear a few?
Yeah. Unless one of them is don't drink less. I don't want to hear that.
I see. Walter Cahill said, I listen every week and love the show. Nate Charles said, I've recently started listening from the beginning. Once I'm caught up, I'll definitely be listening on a weekly basis. Steve Rogers. Not that Steve Rogers. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm a patron and I've listened to the first few episodes, but he's very busy right now. Hopes to catch up before long. Mm-hmm. Richard Field says, I listen every week. I love to listen to the older stories, not so much the current stuff. Everett Starr says, I discovered this podcast 3 months ago. Just last week, I've caught up to the most recent episode and now I am current. Wow, in 3 months, he listened to 80-some episodes.
Yeah, it took us like a year and a half to make them.
I know. Jeez Louise, that's amazing. He said, this is a grade A podcast. It's funny and clean. So I replied, Bob, thanks for listening. I must be the bleeping clean part of the show.
Yeah, he's also the one who edits it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I do all the editing. That's true. Joshua Van Dyne, patron of the show. I never miss an episode. Even if I'm a little late listening to the episode, I still catch it generally before the next episode drops. Casey G. Smith. Here you go, Bob. I started at episode 1 about a month ago, and I listened to a few a day while working from home. I love it.
Wow.
I know. Apologies to your boss. Mm-hmm. We're sorry you're not very productive. At least I know I wouldn't be. I can't listen to a podcast and work at the same time, but I could have to him.
He hears more from me than my wife does.
Yeah, there you go. Catman. Now, Catman wrote a very long response, and we appreciate it. We read every single word, but mm-hmm. I'll just skim the highlights here. Love the show, especially the ones with guests. I also enjoy the rare occasion when you read a story I'm not familiar with because it let me know if I'm interested in getting it. I like the story reading episodes just fine. Love the discussion. I like them better the way you did them in the beginning. It seemed like you summarized things more. Seems like you read every word balloon and describe every panel now, but your voices and acting have gotten better and better.
They have. I give you credit for that. Yeah.
Why? Thank you. And then we have Aaron Paul. I'm a new patron. Thank you, Aaron. I've listened to the weekly episodes. I like the issue selection, like Road 2 series, but I like the interviews more. The episode with Mark White brought me to the community. I like the conversation you'll have deep diving the issues because it really flexes out how you all know the Cap history. It helped me to grow a deeper appreciation for the mythos and comparisons of creators. So this is all great feedback.
It is.
And that brings me to Timothy Yablonski. I listened to a few shows. I liked the discussion interviews. I tried the Road to the Captain episode and disliked having the comic read out loud. That inhibited from listening to other episodes that looked like they followed that format. Conversely, I enjoyed the episode you did with a patron just discussing the overall storyline itself. All right. So, Bob, all good feedback, all mm-hmm. good feedback. But, you know, some things have been brought to light. So we have obviously a great loyal following, people who listen every week or listen sometimes. Some have commented that they like having less of the comic read and more of the comic discussed. So I don't know, Bob, you know, is this something we want to maybe just put out there to the rest of the group to get some feedback? You know, should we think about changing the format of the show? What do you think?
Well, Rick, you know, I think it never hurts to ask the listeners what they want to hear, right? I mean, they're the paying customers. They're paying with their time, right? Their time and the attention. And sometimes they're patrons, but all of them are paying with their time and the attention. So yeah, I think it doesn't hurt to reach out to them and see what folks want to hear.
Excellent. Well, then we'll put that out there in the Facebook group. So if you want to weigh in on how the direction of this show goes, then please, if you haven't already joined, join the Captain America Comic Book Fans Facebook group. And then you can put that, we'll put a poll up and we'll give people an opportunity to vote and then also weigh in with their comments. And if you're just not on Facebook and you want to go to Apple Podcasts, you can go there and leave us a 5-star review and maybe put in there your thoughts, whether you want us to continue reading or maybe another direction. You can do that as well. Or if you just want to email me directly, you can email me at capcomicfans@gmail.com. All right. Well, with that said, Bob, let's get to this episode's comic that we're covering. And like I said, we're very excited because we got a new series to go over. And when we covered Captain America Zero, it got us primed for this series because it had multiple writers, but including the one who writes this series, Symbol of Truth. And so just a little bit of information about the writer. His name is Tochi Onyebuchi. And I hope I'm pronouncing the last name right. So Tochi, he's actually more of a science fiction fantasy writer, but he's recently gotten into comic books. He was actually also a civil rights lawyer at one point.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So he published a few books for young adults, and then his first adult book actually was nominated for several awards, and it's called Riot Baby, and that came out in 2020. So Marvel reached out to him about writing comics, and he did. He came on board and wrote Black Panther Legends miniseries, and then that led to this. So now he's on this series. So that's pretty cool. The artist on this book, R.B. Silva, is what he's professionally known as. His name is Rubens Bernardino Silva. He's from Brazil. And I got to say, his art is really top notch. Like, they got a really good. I'd never heard of him before, even though he's been around. I mean, he's done Fantastic Four. He's done X-Men. He's done Spider-Man. He's done a bunch of fill-in issues. So he's been around. I wasn't familiar with his name, but man, I'm really impressed by his work.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great artists now, Rick. I mean, we talked about some of them in our interview with Alana, you know, that we often hear people say that, oh, you know, today's artist can't hold a candle, but there's so many good artists out there working today if you take the time to look, and RB is one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's penciled and inked this book, which is pretty cool. The colorist is Jesus Arbatov, letterer Joe Caramanga, and the editor is Alana Smith. So the solicitation for this particular issue: Captain America soars again. Sam Wilson picks up the shield once more and enters a world of trouble. Following a lead from Misty Knight, Sam intercepts a mysterious group hijacking what appears to be an empty train. As he digs deeper, he discovers that the plot may be connected to a crucial piece of Captain America history and, surprisingly, Wakanda. The world is ready for two Captain Americas, but is Sam Wilson ready for what comes next? Acclaimed writer Tochi Oyebuchi, Black Panther Legends and Riot Baby, teams with Stormbreaker, R.B. Silva, Powers of X, Inferno, Fantastic Four, to open a thrilling new chapter of Captain America history.
Sounds exciting.
So the cover. Let's talk about the cover, shall we?
Mm-hmm, we shall.
So the one was done by R.B. Silva. The main cover totally looks like it was drawn out of the Falcon and Winter Soldier miniseries. That last episode where I'm talking about the Disney Plus series, right? Where what's the actor's name?
Shoot. Oh, you put me on the spot. Now I can't remember his darn name.
All right.
Oh my God.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it totally looks like, you know, a rendition of Anthony Mackie. And there's a pose actually from the Disney Plus series where he's kind of standing and you see, like, you know, from the side, from his right, and he's holding the shield and he's wearing that costume, and there's a flag behind him and he's mm-hmm. got the wing. Yeah. So it's tall. But he's rocking a new shield. Now, we mm-hmm. saw this shield in Cap Zero, but maybe you could describe it again to the listeners.
Yeah, well, it has a little bit of, you know, the shield itself has a little bit of the flavor of Cap's World War II shield, right? The original shield with the blue outer ring, right? And then there's a white ring and a red inner ring with a blue disc in the center. And then, of course, in lieu of the five-pointed star, we have what looks to be, as you, I think, so aptly described it last time, the Starfleet logo.
The
Star Trek Starfleet logo with an inverted V forming again, in this case, a 5-point star. So it's a really cool looking shield. And I think we're going to see a lot of it at conventions and cosplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the logo itself says Captain America and in big bold font, and then underneath, in smaller font, symbol of truth. And when we were talking to Alana Smith, one of the things that she pointed out about Captain America Zero was that the Captain America was in stripes, red, white, and blue. And then there were stars, like stars on each side, you know? And she said that for symbol of truth, it's going with the stripes, red, white, and blue. And then when Sentinel of Liberty comes out, it'll have the stars. So mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool that you pointed that out. However, I will say that might be the case for the first issue, issue of Sentinel of Liberty, where there's like two stars on either side. But then when I started looking at solicitations for like issue two and issue three, the stars are gone and they're red, white, and blue stripes. So I'm wondering if there was a decision made of, because now their logos look identical, you know, like they both have the red, white, and blue without stars and then small print underneath. I'm wondering if that's almost kind of like on purpose so that people will, you know, when they're on the comic rack and they're just picking up like, oh, I'm just picking up Captain America. I don't care. You know, it's, they're all the same. You know what I mean? Now, if it's some sort of marketing, I don't know.
That seems like that could be confusing though, because particularly these days where they have variant covers, you might think you're picking up a variant cover and not looking on the inside.
That's true. Speaking of the variant cover, that's the one I picked up for this issue. So my personal copy that I have here is the variant issue. And to your point, the Captain America Symbol of Truth logo is at the bottom. And so at the top, it's very, very clean. That's what I liked about it. Mm-hmm. So the image of Sam as Captain America with his wings kind of opened in a dark gray sky behind him. And then there's a, of course, Red Wing, his loyal companion, is flying next to him. So I liked that that cover. So for my personal collection, I got one.
Nice. I mean, I what I like about this cover, I like a lot of things about this cover, Rick, but I also, I love the amount of detail on his wings. Right? I mean, he's, it shows sort of the machinery, right? The technology.
You're talking about the main cover.
The main cover, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. There's certainly, yeah, a lot there. And of course, Wakanda made his wings, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that might play into this story at some point. All right, I'm going to read the preface here. I don't always do that, but, you know, on the title page, it says at the very top, once a social worker from Harlem, Sam Wilson's life changed forever when he gained high-tech wings and the ability to communicate with birds. It changed again when he inherited the mantle of Captain America from Steve Rogers. Though he turned away from the shield for a time to find his own path, now he's fighting the good fight once again as Captain America, Symbol of Truth. And then at the bottom of the title page, Bob, I thought it was interesting. At the bottom, it says Captain America created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. I find that interesting because Sam Wilson, I mean, there should be something in here saying Sam Wilson was created by Stan Lee and Gene Colan. There's no reference to that at all.
Right.
Now, I get that this is a Captain America book, but, you know, Joe Simon and Jack Kirby didn't create Sam Wilson.
Right.
So I kind of feel like that's missing.
Yeah, that is a bit of a, I think a bit short-sighted, right? I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due, and I know there's always, you know, this gnashing of teeth over, you know, giving credit for Captain America. But I think it's equally appropriate, as you pointed out, that, you know, we give appropriate credit for Sam Wilson, a.k.a. the Falcon, who mm-hmm. in this case is now wielding the mantle of Captain America. So, yeah, it's obviously an oversight,
mm-hmm.
an omission, I should say.
All right. Well, maybe they'll fix that at some point. All right. We turn to the beginning of the story, and we are over the American Southwest, and it's kind of like cavernous, right? Kind of like a desert, mountains, caverns, and there's a train line that is going through behind or through the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
All's quiet on the Western Front, Cap. Eyes open, Falcon. We're nearing the coordinates of the manifest. Train should be nearby. Red Wing sights no bogey so far. Just a field mice, rattlesnakes, and a really angry sun. Like someone made a photocopy of Mitya's home in Sonora. Misty's not the wild goose chase type. And if Misty Knight says someone's smuggling super soldier serum on this train, then someone's smuggling super soldier serum on this train. And it's the next page, and it's a three-quarter splash, double page splash of Falcon and Captain America, but it's not who we were expecting, Bob. So when we had on the intercom, hey, Cap, hey, Falcon, we were expecting different people. But instead, we have Sam Wilson as Captain America. And then we have Joaquin Torres as the Falcon. And Joaquin, the Falcon, replies to Sam, try saying that five times fast. How is Misty, by the way? And Falcon lands on the train and he busts in through a door with his shield. Well, married to the job, both of you. That's why you'd make such a great couple. Back half's clear. No sign of the component. Just parts for a wind farm, it looks like. Activity at my 3 o'clock. And there's an explosion. And Joaquin says, Sam, found our bogeys. And there's a big explosion with some bullets coming in, making a loud noise, Bob. And then we see these SUVs coming over the ridge, and then also some really interesting looking flying vessels. They're all coming. I mean, there's a bunch of them, and they're all flying towards the train. And there's a guy who pokes his head out one of the SUV windows, and he has a big rifle. Target at 400 meters. And then on top of the train, there's a helicopter letting down a bunch of soldiers. Target reached. Next page, two-thirds page splash, and the soldiers are coming in and they're firing at Sam as he's holding his shield up, protecting himself from the fire. Falcon, sit rep. Something's jamming our long-range comms. They got the skies, Cap. Next page, and we see Falcon flying while explosions all going off around him, Bob.
Boom, 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 boom.
I hate mosquitoes. Looks like we're not the only ones after the component. I need a scan. Sending a package your way. Package incoming. And at this point, with his shield, he knocks one of the soldiers out the window, and the Falcon grabs him with his feet. Package received. And then he's using his helmet, almost like an Iron Man type of thing, where he can kind of read things. It's a really high tech gear that Joaquin is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's scanning, and he sees, and he, by getting his eye print, he figures out who the guy is. Guy named Harvey Madsen, standard Merc type, no affiliation. Where's these guys coming from? We're in the dead zone. Comms blackout makes this the perfect place for an ambush. Target, lock on Torres. Falcon, missile coming. Next page. And Cap goes to stop the missile with his shield to protect Torres. Sam, wait. And there's a big explosion. Sam! And then as Sam goes flying, he lands and he's unconscious. And he starts to dream or reminisce. You can't be serious. And it's in Harlem. This is earlier. And we see Misty Knight with her mechanical arm, because she's got a cyborg arm, dipping some fries and some ketchup. And they're sitting probably at a KFC. Mercedes Knight, you tell me you never had Kennedy's fried chicken? Samuel Wilson, this where you tell me it's the best fried chicken this side of the Mason-Dixon or something? I mean, if you come in after 10 p.m., yes. Before then, second best. Y'all are always like this. Next, someone from Nebraska's going to come busting through the door like, oh, you've never had Doodly Doo's chicken sandwich. That's the best. Doodly Doo's got nothing on 125th Street. And then we cut to them after eating, and they're outside walking in the middle of daylight in a crowded street. We lived in Sugar Hill when I was a kid. 125th Street was for special occasions. A movie, shopping, the Apollo. We didn't have Showtime at the Apollo money. Dad used to take us to the Baptist Church on 152nd Street. Sam, 152nd Street? That was us. One train stop between us, and we never met as kids. Home's a big place when it wants to be. And then they're walking up on a some sort of, what would you call this?
It looks like a demonstration of some sort.
Yeah. And people have signs, Wakanda forever.
Mm-hmm.
In Bombay. And there's a guy wearing traditional African garb, you know, with his top and his hat, and he's holding a microphone, and he's standing over a huge crowd. I want everyone in this crowd to raise their hands. That's right, everyone, high as you can. Now, if you've never been pulled over by a cop, lower your hand. I don't see anybody lowering their hands, Bob. If you've never had a doctor tell you they didn't believe you, if you've never had a doctor discount your suffering, lower your hand. And they're not lowering their hands. Now, Bob, I'm going to pause here for a second because this is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work in pharma. And so I learned about sickle cell disease. I don't know how much you know, but it was brand new to me. Like I had never heard about this more than probably a year and a half ago. I didn't know it existed. And it is a horrible, debilitating disease, primarily in the African-American or African, really, culture, but now African-American as well. I mean, I think it originated over there. I could be wrong, but it is something that happens in your blood that transforms your cells and deforms your cells, where the blood cells become this sickle shape, and they're harder to pass through. And what happens is something called a pain crisis. And this pain crisis is very debilitating. You feel like you want to die. I mean, it's just horrible, horrible pain. And it can come on at any time. There's hardly, you know, any warning. After living with the disease, you can kind of know when you do certain things that might bring it on, and you might change and alter your, you know, what you eat or drink or stress or things like that. But really, it's this horrible pain crisis that comes on. And then what happens is, you know, the people who are suffering, they might go to the emergency room, they might go to an urgent clinic or something like that. And the doctors can't see anything wrong with them, but they're asking for some sort of painkiller. And so often they are not trusted and saying, well, you're just here for drugs. And that is what this is being referred to in this panel. So if anybody like me wasn't familiar with sickle cell disease, probably didn't understand this panel, but I just wanted to add my two cents on that.
All right. Interesting.
So Misty says to Sam, who was that? Another one of those Wakanda forever people. They can't stand this country. Want to act like paradise is just an ocean away. Never lost a loved one to gun violence? Lower your hand. And things are so sunny over here? That's the point, Misty. Making this country a place where we can live and thrive, that's my job. This movement means I ain't doing so hot. Next page, Misty grabs Sam on the shoulder, reassuring. Come on, let's walk off that dinner. You should freelance for us. Aberrant Crimes Division. Simpler life, better pay. Investigating Central World, other dimensional monsters, magic bullets, that whole thing with carnage. Simpler life, huh? You stalking me, Wilson? I keep tabs on my friends, Misty. That's all, in case they ever need saving. Well, then you'd know that San Fran weather could do you some good. I got a satellite office here, too. Invitation stands. I'm good. Now that I've got the old gig back, I enjoy punching Nazis too much. Typical Captain America. Beep. And they both smile. And then next, they're sitting on top of a brownstone, enjoying the sunset. Drinking. Looks like a few cold brews there. Anyway, I got a tip for you. Not really my ballywick, but it might be more your speed. It's pronounced ballywick. Shut up, Sam. Anyway, this tip. A smuggling operation. I figure it's mercs. Leave it to the regulars. But it was what they're smuggling. That's the issue. There's a freight train. Route runs through New Mexico, Arizona, the Southwest. Manifest is right here. Looks innocuous enough. Water filtration parts? That's just a placeholder. Train's actually going to be carrying a chemical component of super soldier serum. Typical Captain America. Beep! And Sam looks at her, wide-eyed. Next page. Any read on the seller? Buyer? Nope. Don't know yet. But that's probably what you're going to find out. Are you giving me a mission? Sam Wilson. I would never. He just smiles. So we board the train, see where it goes, find our buyer. Mission accomplished. We? You speak French now? I meant me and Joaquin. You sound disappointed. You sure that's what I sounded like? Just make sure you get back safe, all right? You did not just say that. You're right. I take it back. Never happened. You can rewind time now? You keep time stones in your office, too? Speaking of the office, I should be getting back. And she gives him a peck on the cheek. And then she jumps off. This wasn't a date, by the way. Next page. Sam's just kind of standing there watching her go. And he smiles. Not a date, my ass. Cap. 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 And then we see Sam in present time opening his eyes. And there's another expression behind him that makes a loud noise. I was about to break out the smelling salts. And then Sam lands with his stuff glowing on him from exploding near him. And he goes up to the three soldiers and he grimaces. Now, where were we? And he starts making short work with them, punching and kicking and hitting with the shield. Cap, I think I can fix our locust problem. The drones are being remote controlled. I got eyes on the satellite. And Joaquin flies high, like real high. And he gets up to like the satellite and he destroys it. And Sam's on the ground. Good to have eyes again. Long range comms are online again, calling for backup now. Copy that, Sam. I'll keep them off your tail. And just then, there's a helicopter with a Gatling cannon firing at Sam. But Joaquin flies through the helicopter, knocking out the pilot. Pretty sure he just killed him. And then I don't know what happens on this next page. What happens to this helicopter, Bob? It's just firing wildly.
Yeah, it looks like it's firing wildly. Maybe it's hitting those drones that are flying around. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
But then, like, there's four SUVs coming up, and they're firing machine guns at Sam. Falcon, any more intel on our guys? Get this. They're all named Harvey Madsen. Well, somebody's seen Reservoir Dogs. Now, you want to talk about that reference, Bob?
I don't, because I haven't seen that in a long time, buddy.
You don't think so, Mr. White?
No, I don't know Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie. I haven't seen it in a while either. It's a little dark. It's a little violent. It's, you know, not something you watch with the kiddies.
Yeah.
So then Sam throws his shield and takes out the gunners on the top of all of the SUVs. At least we know we got the right train. I'm taking this one with us. And he grabs one of the soldiers, next page, and he puts him in a compartment, and he has a chain that he's wrapping around his hands and his arms. All right, Harvey Madsen, number 22, let's get this started. Who's paying you? If you say your mom, I'll knock out the rest of your teeth. Whatever it is, ain't enough for what you just went through. I bought a gold toilet yesterday. I see you're a man of culture, Harvey number 22. This the part where you beat me to a pulp? Nah, we did that already. You're just going to hang here for a bit till we figure some things out. That's a good boy. And he pulls the chain to make sure that he's hanging from the chain on his hands. And then we cut to the next page. We see Joaquin flying and he's scanning the train with his helmet. Scanning the front half of the train. It's empty, Cap. That doesn't sound like Misty. What's our buddy say? He's thinking about his mistake. So then Cap gets to the front of the train and he sees the drivers, the conductors. We can slow down now, Chief. You're out of danger.
We haven't even picked up any cargo yet. Why did they attack us?
That's what we'd like to know. Falcon, cleanup's going to deal with the mess back there. Maybe they can figure out who was trying to pull off that green train robbery. Needs more horses. Wait, Cap. I think I got something. And he goes over to one of the cars and he flies down and lands. Okay, definitely saw heat signatures here. Let's see who's home. And he rips off the roof and he looks down. The hell? And then there's a bunch of like passengers, immigrants. And there's like a sickly lady. And then there's a young lady who's standing over her and some kids holding a club. She's like, stay back. And then Joaquin takes off his helmet and looks down. Luisa? Joaquin? You know her? She's my cousin from Mexico. Joaquin, this woman needs a doctor. We'll get you help. So we cut to the next scene where this is a little later. And there's a helicopter there. I'm not sure who this is. Can it be SHIELD? I don't know. But it's the good guys coming and taking away, helping the immigrants and people who've been hurt, injured. And then there's a woman here, talking with, Sam and Joaquin. Senator Mansfield sends his regards. Tell him I said, thank you for the backup. Would have called sooner, but well, we'll take it from here. We've already apprehended the suspects 10 miles east of here. Just make sure these people are taken care of. They look like they've been through a lot. They'll be given the best of care, Mr. Torres. I don't like it, Cap. No barrels on the train. All empty containers. The serum component doesn't seem airborne. No, I'm talking about her. I'm talking about the senator. Mansfield knows that if anything happens to them, he'll have to answer to me. We're sending these people to a facility run off the books by an anti-immigration U.S. senator. This about your cousin? It's just, she reminded me of Sonora, where my extended family's from. Thought I'd left that place in my rear view. Go with him. You can make sure she's safe. Thanks, Cap. And he does. He flies after the helicopter, leaving Sam there by himself, wondering next steps. Next page, we cut to the Cumberland Federal Correctional Institute, and it's late at night, and we cut to a cell where we have an inmate wearing an orange jumpsuit, bald, white guy, laying on his cot, listening to the radio. And Chris Judge steals home. Another run for the White Sox.
Hey, Rumlow, you got a visitor.
I'm watching the game.
You're lost, pal.
And he's just laying there with his arms behind his head and his eyes closed. And then you hear a crack, crack, ah! And Rumlow sits up. And the next page is a full page splash. How would you describe this person?
You know, he's a dapper dude, Rick. He looks tall. He kind of has a Tony Stark look about him, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a white suit with some sort of colorful scarf sort of draped around his left shoulder.
Yes. And he, he does look like Tony Stark a little bit. And he says to Rumlow, "The gentleman said you have a visitor." "Who the hell are you?" "My colleagues call me the White Wolf. Enemies too. You can call me Hunter." Now, do you know who this character is, Bob?
The White Wolf?
Yeah.
I don't, Rick.
So the White Wolf is actually kind of related to T'Challa, Black Panther.
Really?
He's his stepbrother. So at one point, the king, T'Chaka, I guess, adopted him. And he was from a neighboring country. And he, I guess, was orphaned. I don't know the whole story. Mm-hmm. But T'Chaka had adopted him and raised him as his own son. Then he had T'Challa, but still treated, you know, White Wolf fine. And he was always called White Wolf. I mean, that was like a nickname, but mm-hmm. He got the nickname because after he put him in charge of his secret guard, and he was known as the White Wolf. There was some animosity between him and T'Challa when T'Challa took over as the king.
Mm-hmm.
So some people compare the relationship kind of like a Loki Thor type of relationship.
All right. Well, I remember we talked about this with Alana, right? And she was very clear that, you know, this is not the White Wolf of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. "My colleagues call me the White Wolf. Enemies too. You can call me Hunter." "Yeah? And what do you want?" "Money, mostly. But I've recently gotten into pharmaceuticals." "Well, you're looking for investors in the wrong place. I ain't got what's it called, seed money for your little startup or whatever." "Oh, there's no startup involved. You here to break me out or something? Because I don't need your help for that." "Then what are you doing here?" "I was watching the game before you interrupted me. A waste of your talents." "Look, Wolf guy, whatever you're selling, not interested. I've got a plum gig running this place." "But you look so bored." "What if I told you I'm about to overthrow a country?" "Okay, keep going." "I've already gotten started. Think of the White Wolf as a chess, not checkers kind of guy." "Okay, Mr. Chess, not checkers." And he sits up from his cot. "What do you got for me? What am I doing? Which country are we toppling?" "A couple of them, really. And hey, for fun, I'll even let you kill Captain America. Now, do you prefer Mr. Rumlow or Crossbones?" And then the next page, the last page, is a full splash of Sam in his Captain America uniform walking up the steps of the White House late at night.
Ooh, no, it's the U.S. Capitol.
Ah, yes, you are correct. So I guess he's going to see the senator.
Mm-hmm.
To be continued. All right, Bob. Before we get started on talking about this, mm-hmm. I do want to say that I have to talk about the next issue. Okay?
Okay.
Because the next issue, number two, it says, "After thwarting a train robbery with mysterious ties to the super soldier serum, Sam Wilson needs information. Unfortunately, the person he needs information from is Deadpool, who's in prison in Latveria. No one said picking up the shield again would be easy." So we have Crossbones, then Deadpool, then Dr. Doom. Holy crap. I mean, he's not holding back.
Oh, and your Bucci's diving right in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you think? What'd you think of this first issue of this?
I think it's pretty good, man. I liked it. You know, there's a lot of things to like here. So the art's great. I think the writing's snappy. I like the fact that, you know, as you pointed out with Sickle Cell, you know, I love when there's a line or a panel that makes you stop and do a little digging and you learn a little something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the writing is contemporary. It's talking about, you know, real world issues. But it's also, you can pick up a little something here and learn a little something while being entertained.
I agree. Yeah. I think, you know, when we talked about months ago, right, Bob, we talked about what are we looking for mm-hmm. in the next Captain America series? It's funny back then, neither of us would have ever guessed that we would have not one series, but two series.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I know you mentioned that, you know, you like something that's contemporary political type of topics where Cap's hitting those head on. I talked about, I just want a fun adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have more of the Captain America superhero as opposed to the super soldier. Mm-hmm. So I think this one maybe had a little bit of both.
I know. I'm seeing that, you know, that meme, that like little gif with the little girl who says,
Why not both? I know. I love that.
Right.
I've used that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you pointed out some things, you know, of, you know, the political stuff. I mean, obviously like the stuff on the street, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with the Wakanda Forever type of thing, that brought up some points, and it's true. I mean, these are topics that are real and are important. I personally don't want them thrown, you know, in my face as I'm trying to do escapism mm-hmm. from everyday life, and I don't think that was. I think Tocci did a nice job bringing it up. It wasn't just brought up in a way of, hey, I think this is important and I want to bring light to it. No, it's part of the story,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's part of it's not a plot device. It's actually a, you know, a continuation of the story, or I should say not even a continuation, but more of an introduction, right? Because Wakanda is apparently going to be a big deal in this opening story arc.
Yeah. You know, and he could have gone further, right? I mean, because if you look back at Sam Wilson, I mean, from the get-go, Sam was very politically engaged, right, with his community in Harlem. I mean, all the way from the very beginning. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, Sam never shied away from, you know, what he does for his community and the things that he's trying to do for his country.
That's a great point.
But I think he handled it in a very, balanced sort of way without neither too hot nor too cold, right? Just the right amount of entertainment, but also, you know, staying true to Sam's character.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I love his reaction to this when Misty says, and things are so sunny here. Because mm-hmm. obviously the answer to that is no. Right. And Sam replies, that's the point, Misty, making this country a place where we can live and thrive. That's my job. This movement means I ain't doing so hot.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than be all criticize, you know, this, criticize that, he does the Cap thing and he says, I could be doing a better job.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Which I think is very much, I don't know, it's a very Cap thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you lead from, you don't always lead from the front, you know, rah, 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 right? A lot of times you lead from the front by your example, or you lead from the rear by encouraging. And I think this is something that, is very Cap-like for him to say, no, you know, it's on me. And inspiring others to do and say the same thing.
Right. Yeah. I think this is something he's learned from Steve, right? I mean, you can be angry, and there's lots to be angry about. And Sam was angry, you know, early on, right? But he's learned that, like, he has a role to play in making things better. Right. He learned that whole, that Lorax saying, right? Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing will get better. It's not. Right. And right. Cause he knows that he's out there trying to do his best to change things to make better, make it better. And I love that. I love that about this character. I wasn't always a big fan of Falcon. But I have grown to really appreciate Sam Wilson in his various incarnations as the Falcon and as Cap. And I think this remains very, very true to who Sam has become.
So what do you think of the cast, right? I mean, we talked about the villains, right? Or the villains slash outside characters, right? We got Crossbones. We got White Wolf. I think that's awesome. Right. Because we have the introduction of a character people are very not familiar with, right? Well, White Wolf, few people know about.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But then you have a classic character, you know, who's been around for about 30 years in Crossbones, you know, now.
But drawn very differently, Rick. What's up with that?
Yeah. He's not huge.
He's not huge. Right.
Yeah.
If you didn't know who that was, I would have thought, well, that's clearly Lex Luthor.
Or Bullseye.
He's got a very different body style, so it'll be interesting to see what's going on here, if that's intentional or if that's just an artistic license.
Yeah. And then you've got, you know, Deadpool, you got Dr. Doom coming up, so we got some cool villains, antagonists, you know, that are showing up. So let's talk about the supporting cast. What do you think of Joaquin Torres? What do you think of Misty Knight?
Both great characters. I mean, I honestly don't know a lot about either of them. I didn't really follow the Sam Wilson story where Joaquin debuted. And so I've only caught like bits and pieces of it. And frankly, I mean, I wouldn't have even known about it because I didn't really read those books until after I watched the MCU series on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Where they had Joaquin Torres character. And who knows where that character will go in the MCU. But there was sort of a flurry of interest in this Joaquin Torres who became the Falcon when Sam took up the mantle of Captain America. So I had to go back and read some of those books. So I think that character is really interesting with some really interesting capabilities. And I like the dynamic between the two of them. So I think it's going to be cool to see where that goes in the future. As for Misty, I mean, who doesn't like Misty? She's a foxy mama.
Yes. And it's nice to not see Layla.
Yes, I was thinking that as well. Right.
Yeah. Kind of over her.
Yeah, I'm over her too.
Yeah, she's a little mean.
Yeah.
Any other characters that you're hoping to see show up here?
Gosh, who else would I like to see? Well, I mean, I'm sure we're gonna. I mean, if this is going to, and I think it's going to involve perhaps some time in Wakanda. I think we're going to see T'Challa's sister, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I hope we see Winter Soldier. I hope we see him.
Well, he seems to be a huge part of the Sentinel of Liberty series, right? Because when we had Alana Smith on the show, she talked about that, how much we're going to see Winter Soldier in that series. So, we'll probably, if we want to see Bucky, we're going to have to probably pick up the Sentinel Liberty series, which I guess I'll have to do that.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
But there may be some appearances, and maybe also, who was that crazy lady from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier miniseries that we like so much?
The crazy lady?
Yeah. Who battled Zemo for control of Hydra.
Oh, you're talking about the miniseries, not the, the MCU series.
No, no. Yeah. The
miniseries. Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Oh, yeah. Gosh, she was just in the Captain America Iron Man miniseries.
Yeah. The name escapes me, but.
We like
her. We'll see her again.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or The Natural.
Be nice if she. Oh, The Natural. That would be cool too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, this was a great start to the series. We got to see some personal side of Sam. We got to see some kick-ass action. We got to see Falcon. We got to see Red Wing. And and we got some cool villains coming up.
Yeah.
You
some
know,
great,
so,
some great art.
Deadpool and Dr. Doom. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like.
Yeah, indeed.
When was the last time we saw Deadpool or Dr. Doom in a Captain America series?
Right. Yeah.
I can't. It's been such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
You know, it's going to be some humor, too.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, so, hey, Bob. So we need to let people know about next episode. Right. So in episode 89, we are doing the top 10 other Captain America retcons, mm-hmm. part two. Yes. So we covered in episode 84 the first five. Now we're going to do the next five, so that's going to be fun. So it's a little break from covering the comics. We're going to dive deep into the mythos behind Captain America and cover a couple of the retcons you wouldn't otherwise suspect.
No,
do you want to give the listeners a little tease of
no,
what we might...
I don't. But all I will say is if you thought we went into the weeds last time, buckle up and grab your Black and Decker weed whacker, because we are going deep this time.
that's good. Yeah, that was excellent marketing, but we all know Bob just forgot what those five were.
It's been a while.
All right. Well, Bob, as always, it has been fun wrapping cap with you, my friend.
Oh, it has. It has.
All right. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.